This is The Topic is Trek, episode 96, for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. Coming up in this episode, Star Trek 14 gets a director. No, not that one. No, or that one, or that one. The TOS and TNG bridge crews get small, really small. Trip Tucker has a very close encounter. All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. Kalish, the, don't tell me. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it, sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already! Well, hello, everyone. I'm Clinton, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts. And this week, we're doing something a little different. We're not going to have as many special effects because, darn it, we can do the show without special effects, right? Oh, sure. No one else is here yet. Oh, they are here. Okay.
Just like Star Trek, the motion picture.
That's right. Oh. Which we'll talk about in a little bit. But beaming in to join me, as always, from Parts Unknown, making his own sound effects with a hot new signature catchphrase that all the kids are talking about. It's Mr. Craig Stepp.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
And then he's going to go away again, so we should never mind. All right, and also beaming in from a secret away mission location is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Is it Pon Farr yet?
Not yet, not yet. But soon, very soon.
Pon near, Pon Farr. Pon near.
Pon Farr? Pon near. As you can see, we're going to have a very special episode this evening.
So, we can't do the special effects, but we can still work on those special voices.
Hey,
we're
special.
Yes.
What are you mumbling about?
Eric's is here no matter what. Good to see you here. Well, before we get started, we have something I didn't put into subspace chatter because while it's happening after we record The Topic is Trek, it's happening before anyone can listen to The Topic is Trek, and that's San Diego Comic-Con at Home's Star Trek Universe panel, where they're going to be talking about Lower Decks and Prodigy. So anybody listening to this has information we don't have about what got announced. I'm hoping that they show some footage from both of them.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'm also hoping that we get a premiere date for Prodigy. Because, you know, right now, the only thing we've got a premiere date for is Lower Decks, and that's coming up right quick.
I have a feeling.
12th?
11th or 12th, 12th, I think it is.
The Thursday.
I have a feeling that their Prodigy is going to come on shortly after that.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean,
have you seen the Lower Decks trailer?
Yes. I have listing in the just the links for the episode to the trailer, and also directly below that, I have a link to the Blues Brothers clip of them driving through the mall in the Bluesmobile, which pretty much is what that clip from Lower Decks is.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah.
Lots of room in the space station, you know, type of thing. Yeah, so I'm hoping we get more clips from that, but if not, we just have to wait a couple of weeks and we'll see the actual show at that point. I don't know. Is there anything you would like to get out of the panel that everyone will have seen?
I can't think of anything specific other than I'd like to see another little trailer. I'm sure we'll see something before, you know, just pass over for another couple of weeks.
Would you like to see the ship from Prodigy? I know I would.
Oh, the ship. Yes, absolutely.
So many things, many hopeful things that might come out of this, but we don't know what they are, so...
I mean, as much as they've told us about Prodigy, we really don't know much about it yet.
Right, you know, we've never seen any footage. We've just seen stills.
Yeah. We're probably going to get a few teasers like we usually do at Comic-Con, but no real substance about story or characters or all that good stuff.
Right. They might have a kind of a teaser trailer that's just a bunch of random clips that we can't give context to, something like
but
that.
But it leaves room for everyone to speculate and build rumors on.
Absolutely. There are channels founded on such things.
Yeah, like this podcast.
Never mind that. All right, let's move on. So this is going to be an interesting experience right now, because as you know, typically on The Topic is Trek, when we open Subspace Chatter, we have to get clearance to do so from a certain Charlie X. Now, as I said, we're recording in a special way this evening. So Charlie's appearance may be interesting when I say, okay, is it all right with you, Charlie?
We don't need all that Subspace Chatter.
So there you go. Just seamless. That was completely Charlie. Right?
I think he was phoning it in.
actually, he was zooming it in, but that's another story altogether.
This whole podcast has been phoned in.
That's right.
All right. So on that clearly okay from Charlie, it's time to start our first story.
First up, if you are listening to this episode prior to Saturday, July 24th, at 11:59 p.m. Pacific, you have a shot at scoring one of three free copies of Star Trek Discovery Season 3 Blu-ray set. Hmm. It's a giveaway being run by the team over at DailyStarTrekNews.com. To enter, you'll have to either follow at Daily Trek News and retweet their giveaway post, or send an email to info@DailyStarTrekNews.com with the subject line Discovery. We have a link to these details over at our post for episode 96 at the topic is Trek.
Ding.com.
Ding.
It's going to be like that the whole way through, people.
The whole way through. All right. Moving on to the other breaking news. As originally reported by Deadline.com, the next Star Trek movie has the green light. Now, we know you've heard us say that before. Like the sequel that was being written by J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay, or the R-rated Quentin Tarantino script, or that one that would have had the movie franchise's first female director, S.J. Clarkson, or more recently, the Noah Hawley film that was put on hold during pre-production. Yeah, but this news story seems like it has the best chance of actually making to the screen. J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot Productions company will be producing the film, which will be directed by first-time feature film director Matt Shakman.
Now, Matt Shakman has a long list of television and streaming credits. His past works include directing episodes of everything from Everybody Hates Chris, Ugly Betty, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, one of my favorites, and Judge Amy, The Good Wife, and Game of Thrones, and Judge Judy. No, I just do that.
No.
And he was even at the helm of the episode Boston Legal, an episode of Boston Legal where he directed Star Trek alumni William Shatner and Renee Auberjonois. Most recently, Shakman directed all 9 episodes of the Disney Plus Marvel series, WandaVision, which I also enjoy very much. The success of that project was as well as a nomination for both Directors Guild of America and Emmy Award has shot Shakman to the status of A-list director. It is important that Shakman chose Star Trek, It is also important, I guess, for us. It is reported that Shakman chose Star Trek over every other offers. This is a major win for Emma Watts. Watts, president of Paramount Pictures, had previously placed other Star Trek projects on hold, trying to decide on the best path forward for the franchise.
The script is by Lindsay Beer and Geneva Robertson Dworet. Beer is also currently working on a Stephen King Pet Cemetery project as both writer and director. Robertson Dworet's past screenwriting credits include 2018's Tomb Raider sequel and the recent Captain Marvel movie. She's currently working on the screenplays for several other projects, including Silver Sable for Marvel, Gotham City Sirens for DC, and the screen adaptation of the sci-fi film Artemis, based on the novel by Andy Weir, author of, yes, that Andy Weir from The Martian.
Our favorite Martian.
No.
Isn't that Matt Damon? I'm very confused. Yeah. Or is it Ray Walston? Artemis... No, that's Boothby. I'm very confused.
I thought Artemis had something to do with Ready Player One, but I was way off track. All right, you'll probably remember that back in March, we reported that Paramount and Bad Robot had tapped Star Trek Discovery writer Kalinda Vasquez to write a new Star Trek movie based on her original idea. This new announcement does not mean the project by Vasquez is dead. Like other studios, Paramount often has multiple projects in development at the same time. No, really?
Indeed. Getting back to this most recent news, while there have been some reports of casting wish lists, we don't have any official word on whether this film will be a sequel to Star Trek Beyond, or take place in the Prime Universe, or chart its own course. The first casting announcements, though, should help solve that mystery. However, with production on the as-yet-untitled project not beginning until spring of next year, 2022, it could be a while before we hear more news on that front. The film is still scheduled to be released on June 9th, 2023, which is just a mere 686 days from today.
All right. Start the countdown, kids.
Exactly, Erics. All right.
So we've had our first look at the transporter for the Star Trek Strange New Worlds, or have we? Images leaked online show a Star Trek transporter room with a source identifying them as part of the upcoming Paramount Plus series about the adventures of Captain Pike, Spock, and Number One. The room seems to be a redress of the Discovery transporter room, while several elements have been swapped out. The basic shape and size of the pad is identical to that on Disco. The set even has two control stations, which is a feature of the Discovery transporter room. During the filming of season one, Strange New Worlds moved into its own facility in Toronto. Sharing of sets between the two shows had become difficult to coordinate. So the question is, are we seeing the Enterprise transporter room, or are we seeing an episode based on some other Federation location?
So you guys have had a chance to look at the photos. What are your impressions of this version of a transporter room?
I think it looks very, I mean, I try to look at it and match it up with the TOS, you know, because I know they would take some things to kind of make it blended in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to look different, of course. But I think so. There's a lot of red on the transporter pad, of course, on the original one. So I think this might be the Enterprise that we know and love.
Well, the interesting thing is that we have already seen the transporter room of the Enterprise. We saw it in the Short Treks episode with Spock and Number One.
Mm-hmm.
And in that episode, when he beams on, they have panels at the back of the transporter pads that are kind of a take on the wavy lines that were in the original series background. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now here we have exposed back ribs on the behind the transporter pad. They don't
turquoise
have the same,
lines, you mean?
Yeah, they don't have the same look at all. And also there's there's a corridor that goes behind the entire transporter pad. You can see the entryways to that.
So Klingons can sneak up behind them while they're trying to.
Then they probably shouldn't have that there. That's a big mistake.
Oh, it's a bad design flaw.
The consoles also have a unique feature. The consoles that the transporter chief would use have displays on both sides. Mm-hmm. Of it. I'm not sure.
Why would you need that?
So you can tell that you're beaming out.
So someone can beam themselves out without having to run behind the console.
Tell you what, you stand on that console, I'll stand on this one. We'll transport each other.
Yeah, that's going to work.
Reaching
out
over the console worked in all the other shows. What's the problem?
That's right.
So we as I said, we don't really know. This is the problem when you have leaked images. There's no context whatsoever. We talked about a teaser trailer that has no context. This really has no context. You don't know if the set is complete. Cool. You don't know if the set is from an episode. You really have nothing to go by when you're looking at this set. But
it does look kind of cool. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, one of the features on the TOS console, we didn't have like a circular control or a display on it.
And this one does. Yeah. If you look at the...
There's the three sliders picture, or whatever.
Look at the third picture where the console is to the front of the camera shot. You see the three sliding levers, and then with some paper marking it off for some reason, is that round?
That's the ribbon for Scotty to put his hand in it, the strap, so he doesn't go flying out the airlock when they...
It's the adding machine to make sure you get all the particles back.
It's from the auditors, actually.
Actually the anti-scratch tape.
It's the ticker tape that, they'd had in the Addams Family.
When they ship you a new car, it's got like the anti-scratch stickers on the hood, and that's what...
No, it looks like a receipt from CVS.
It's way too short for that. Way too short.
And I'm pretty sure those director's chairs in that table don't belong in the transporter room.
While we're gearing up the transport, why don't y'all have a seat?
Yeah. Sit a spell. Kick back.
There's a 5-minute wait.
So, unfortunately, because these are leaked photos, we will not be putting those into the show notes for the episode, but you can find them online if you really want to search for them. So just letting you know that
maybe if we get a link, you can point it that way. If they get deleted, they get deleted. But
The link I got them from was a bit sketchy. So I don't want to send people places that...
Well, you know what? Hopefully pretty soon we'll be able to see this.
The more I think about it, the more that little corridor that goes behind the transporter makes more sense.
For maintenance?
Yes. Because if you needed to work on, say, the pad in the back...
Yeah. Well, under? Yeah.
Underneath, especially. Yeah.
You know, one thing that bugged me about the transporters in the Kelvin universe...
Mm-hmm.
Was they had kind of a bubble and they were standing on that bubble. I'm like, it just looks... who would design that? You know what I'm talking about?
Standing on a bubble. Don't recall.
So the transporter pad here, yeah, you see, is flat.
Yeah.
Well, the ones on the Kelvin universe in the transporter room, it looks almost like a lens, like a, almost like a lighthouse kind of lens. You know, it's... Yeah.
Well, the ones in the original series were really like lenses as well. They had the circular pattern in them as well.
But not a bubble where you got stand on top
bubble.
Of this.
Not a bubble. No.
Half circle or whatever.
Not yeah, that would seem to be a kind of a problem if you're beaming
you're
in.
Looking,
you've especially automatically when, lost your sense of balance as you.
Yeah, I tell you what, you can really see it when they beam back, when Spock saves all the elders, and they beam back to the Enterprise, and he just loses his mom. You can see the one Vulcan standing there on it. And I'm like, that just looks uncomfortable.
That must have really hurt when Kirk impacted it, when he got beamed up from falling to the planet.
Yeah. He landed on it. Pointy. Yeah.
He lands on a lighthouse Fresnel lens. Like, oh, that's going to leave a few circles on my gut.
What are all these spikes for, us to keep the birds from getting on the transporter pad?
However, it does explain maybe why Spock knelt. We were wondering, why was Spock kneeling down when he transported? Maybe that's I don't want to try to stand on this thing.
Yeah.
All right.
He has the duck.
He was supposed to beam inside a very small cavern, but they missed.
I think they call that the pre-duck.
All right. We already covered that movie.
All right. Well, then let's move on to our next story.
All right.
All right. Well, congratulations are in order for both Star Trek Discovery and Lower Decks. Both shows have picked up Emmy nominations. Discovery secured spots in 4 categories. The season opener episode, That Hope Is You Part 1, was nominated for Outstanding Prosthetic Makeup for a Series, Limited Series, Movie, or Special. Yes, that's a category all in itself. I think the category deserves a nomination for Longest Category.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Outstanding Sound Editing for a 1-Hour Comedy or Drama Series. Part 2 of the Terra Firma Mirror Universe story was also nominated for Outstanding Period and or Character Makeup Non-Prosthetic. and Sukal in the episode that finds the USS Discovery traveling to the location of the source of the burn was nominated for Outstanding Special Visual Effects in a Single Episode. Whew. Lower Decks received one Emmy nomination. The season finale, No Small Parts, was nominated for Outstanding Sound Editing for a Comedy or Drama Series, Half Hour, and Animation. If you're keeping track, that makes a total of 174 Emmy nominations for the Star Trek franchise dating back to 1966. In total, the franchise has had 36 wins, with Star Trek The Next Generation leading the nominations at 58 and wins at 18. Don't forget, the 73rd Annual Emmy Awards will be presented on September 19th in a ceremony that will be shown on both CBS and Paramount Plus.
All righty, and here's some news that should have happened ages ago. The 2001 Director's Edition of Star Trek The Motion Picture is finally being upgraded from standard definition. As we've mentioned in the past, the motion picture ran into some production issues, and the prints barely made it to the theaters in time for the movie's December 1979 premiere. Director Robert Wise always regretted not having the time to do the standard test screenings of the film. That way you find out what's working, what's not, and you can make some edits based on that. So some 20 years later, he sat down with a team that helped him make as many tweaks as possible, given the limited availability of material that had been filmed but not used. Wise shortened scenes and inserted alternate footage to change the pace of the movie and clarify certain details. In addition, some visual effects were replaced, with many of the shots implementing ideas that had been storyboarded back in the 1970s. Unfortunately, the original Director's Edition team did not have the production budget needed to render an additional high-definition version of the finished production, and Foundation Imaging, the effects house that rendered the new elements, went out of business shortly after the project was completed. The new remastering will result in a 4K Ultra HD image with Dolby Vision HDR color enhancement and Dolby Atmos sound. Original Director's Edition team members David C. Fain, Darren Doctorman, and Mike Matesino are all involved in the remastering project, which is expected to take between 6 and 8 months to complete. While there's no exact release date announced yet, when the project is ready, it will first be available exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Yes.
Sweet. Did I tell you I recently upgraded?
No commercials, eh?
No commercials. And I really wasn't that concerned with the commercials. You can download with the premium package too. And since I've got some airplane time coming up, I thought I'd catch up and download.
That's right. Well, speaking of TOS era films and downloading them, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, otherwise known as The One with the Whales.
I've often heard it more referred to as Save the Whales, but please.
Yeah, Save the Whales. We'll be coming back to theaters for a two-night engagement in August. It is all part of a celebration of the 35th anniversary of Star Trek IV and a way of promoting the upcoming 4K UHD Blu-ray extra whatever version. Release of our Star Trek movies as a box set, of course. The theater dates are Thursday, October 19th, and Sunday, August 22nd. Tickets are available at Fathom Events, and we have a link in the show notes on episode 96 over the topic is Trek.
Dang!
Ding!
Dang.com. I think we need to get that bell fixed. This sounds a little flat.
I don't know. This sounds great to me.
Dank!
Clank! Okay. Clank, he was one of the Klingons in one of the movies. That's somewhere.
Right. I think he was, yes.
It wasn't very very popular, but yeah.
So last time I think I saw Star Trek IV in the theaters, it's interesting because this evening I went out to dinner with my parents at a theater that was converted into a bistro. We got to eat in the balcony.
And a whale showed up. And
I'm pretty sure I saw it in that theater 35 years ago. So that's cool. Was a nice return down memory lane and a second reference tonight to the same movie. All right, let's go for one more story. Finally, for all you toy lovers, we mean collectibles hoarders.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have news that Playmates Toys has been awarded the licensing rights for action figures, vehicles and ships, role play, and other toy categories for all Star Trek properties. Playmates will launch its new Star Trek toy line in 2022, with the first items being featured characters from Star Trek Prodigy, the first Star Trek series aimed at younger audiences. But they're not the ones who collect these things. Who's paying for this?
The parents.
They haven't figured out the marketing yet. Okay. That's not all. Fanwares has announced a new take on those classic Green Army Men figures. In this case, the various 2-inch figures are cast in red, yellow, and blue. Oh, and they are Star Trek figures. Two Star Trek Nanoforce Army Builder minifigure box sets are on the way. One set features characters from The Next Generation, including the entire bridge crew, as well as Q and Borg, Cardassian, Romulan, and Klingon characters. Clank.
Clank. Remember old famous Clank? Oh, yeah.
The other set focuses on TOS. It also features a bridge crew plus the Gorn. an Andorian, a Talosian, and M113. Quick, Craig, what's M113 besides a messier object in the sky?
M113, isn't that one? That was the third planet they'd identified outside of our solar system.
It's the salt creature.
Oh, that one.
And of course, it also features an era appropriate Romulan and Klingon characters. Clank.
No, not always Clank. It's not always Clank.
Clunk?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Crude?
Clank is Worf's distant cousin.
Klutz.
Klutz.
He's the Klingon who couldn't hold his liquor. Each set includes a 4-inch model of an equally era-appropriate version of the USS Enterprise. The sets are due out later this year, but they'll take your money now because Ooh, yeah. Pre-orders are now being taken at entertainmentearth.com. Clank.
By the way, I'm kind of not super impressed with it. It looked like something anybody could crank out with a 3D printer.
Yeah, I think it's for people that don't have a 3D printer.
Yeah, well, that would be me. Anyway.
And that way you don't have to also, you know, like take off all the little bits of flash and so forth, presumably, anyway.
Right.
All right. And there's still no news out of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, but we are sending in an expeditionary force to see if we can reestablish contact.
And make sure they live through the pandemic.
Oh, my goodness.
Send a probe through the wormhole.
Well, meanwhile, over in the show notes for episode 96, over at the topic is Trek.
Clank.
.com. We have links to 54 additional stories broken up by series, movies, and other categories. You'll find everything from a list of Easter eggs found in that latest Lower Decks trailer to an article on friend of the show Noah Averback Katz and how he recently raised over $12,000 for the T1 International and hashtag Insulin for All initiative.
You even got some stories in there for the Kalesh Chronicles.
Indeed. Was,
so, you know, but they showed Klingon kids when they were on TV.
So,
what are you laughing at now?
When you can laugh at your own jokes, you know they're good. Right.
You know what? If you can't crack yourself up, who can you crack up?
At least you got an audience of one.
Right.
All right. So now it's time. I'm not afraid. I wonder what's going to happen here when I say, it's usually my favorite part of the show where I get to say goodbye, Charlie.
I want
to
stay.
Yeah. Anybody buying that? Okay. Let's move on now.
This is how we get around the copyright stuff.
To our main mission.
I do karaoke too.
Yes. Yeah. He's here all week. It's time to head out on our main mission where we take a Z minus 10,000 meter deep dive into a subject and try to stay on course. Good luck. This time around, we're diving into episodes 5 and 6 of season one of Enterprise. So, Chuck, what's up first?
First show is titled Unexpected, written by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga, directed by Mike Vijar. I hope I said that right. I don't know. Never seen that name before in my life.
Vijar.
Yeah.
No, it's Vijar.
It's directed by Vijar.
First aired October 17, 2001, and in this episode, Chief Engineer Trip Tucker boards an alien vessel to assist with repairs to the crew's ship. His encounters with one of the crew leads to rather unexpected consequences.
Do we want to tackle this one before we move on to...
Let's do that.
I think that makes because these ones are different enough. I think the other two were character studies. These, maybe not so much. All right. So we have Unexpected. Now, this one,
it was unexpected.
It was unexpected. The Trip became pregnant. That was pretty unexpected. I also felt like while I had certain thoughts about Trip's reaction and the crew's reaction to Trip and what Trip was doing, I ran this episode past Bonnie and had her watch it, actually rewatch it. I think she'd seen it when it was first aired, and get her takes on it as well. So when we get to discussing that part, I've got some of her comments as well.
Okay.
So the couple of interesting things in this episode, one is a reminder that there's artificial gravity on the ship. The people tend to forget is the case. And we learn that right away as it goes out. The gravity plating goes out while Archer is in his shower. It just starts floating around with the water.
Look, I'll say this. This show was trying hard to a little bit over sexuality, because they had the blue room, you know, where they're being decontaminated and they're rubbing gel on each other. Now, Scott Bakula, he's a good looking guy. He's fit in the show, and they're floating around. They're all but showing him, you know, showing you everything. You know, it just happens to be frosted.
Behind a frosted door. I mean,
but I'm like, come on, you know, they do this the whole time, especially when they get to the mirror universe one. You know, they're all, anyway.
Honestly, if you lost gravity in a ship and you knew it was coming back, wouldn't you pull yourself as close to the floor as possible immediately?
You would think so.
No, we always have to have the sight gag of somebody falling down when the gravity comes back on.
But the other thing that the episode did, which you rarely get in the series, is we have a 3-hour, we don't see the entire thing, but we have a 3-hour
tour?
No, like an acclimation process.
You know, you're going to an alien ship. You might have to do some things other than just walk in through the hatch.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that. Wasn't fully effective by the time he got there either. He still had to have some rest. And he was like, it's not going to help. I'd rather get to work.
Take a nap. That's an order.
Yeah. Lo and behold, it helped.
Yeah. No, but, I'm with you, Chuck. I think that worked pretty well, because it was like, okay, they're learning that there are adjustments to deal with all these other races.
And we got to see a pretty kick butt holodeck too.
Yes. Although it was kind of bathed originally in that wrapping paper that you get for special birthdays.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of holographic looking.
Looks like a Mylar balloon.
Yeah.
It was.
I thought that was an interesting choice for it. Now, my question there is, all right, we learned that the Klingons get this technology with which they can see their house from here.
I love that line. I'm sorry. That was just so cheesy. It made me laugh.
But the question is, did the Zerillians also provide the technology to the Federation? Because the Klingons have a holodeck. Is that where the Federation gets the holodeck from?
You know, we never saw the Klingons with a holodeck, or did we?
Yeah, we never saw them use it, but maybe that's how Worf figured out his training program decades later.
Indeed.
Hey, by the way, I did like T'Pol's suggestion about meeting the holographic parents.
Yes. Very, very smarmy. Smarmy. And Archer was getting a kick out of it as well, trying to hold back a laugh.
And then I was like, wow, she's delivering these lines straight. She said, And being an ambassador, you have to learn not to put your fingers where they shouldn't be. I was like, what are you? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was I forgot to mention that on the holodeck, we just talked about the holodeck, we see Vasquez Rock again.
Oh yeah, I guess
it's so, on
yeah.
their planet as well. That rock gets around. It's well-traveled rock.
It's a common geological formation. Who are we to judge other worlds?
It's like an anomaly. You see it on every planet, you know.
Yes. Take me to your Vasquez Rock, please. I must see that first. It's the same postcard you get on every single planet, you know.
Yeah, every single planet I'm on, I get a selfie with Vasquez Rock.
That's right.
But I agree. One of the points that Tripp was making is that the crystals were holographic, and not knowing exactly the makeup of how this is normally accomplished, you would assume it's a recreation of a procedure that happened before the invention of holodecks. It seems like it shouldn't work. It shouldn't be transferring information back and forth.
Well, remember she touched his face and you saw that little bit of electricity. So maybe just their hands being near in each other. I don't know. I didn't think it was too big of a leap. I mean, they're standing in a boat that was functional.
It's the same excuse for Star Trek Insurrection when they shot the guy off the roof and then he disappeared inside the holo ship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the difference with the boat is that the boat is doing what a boat does, but it doesn't involve anything other than just buoyancy and resistance. Whereas this is doing something very chemical, to transfer this information back and forth. So
you know how holodecks really work?
It's resequenced photons, isn't it? I believe.
I think I've heard that a couple times today.
Who are we to judge a technology that's indistinguishable from magic?
I also noticed that the Klingons, or the production is doing their best to make sure that we get to a point where there's no record on the Klingon side of Archer ever having done anything. First, in Broken Bow, they take credit for all this stuff and leave Archer out of the story of getting the Klingon back. And now the debt is repaid, so suddenly that's all wiped off, even though the debt is kind of almost just implied or lied about by T'Pol. So
yeah,
the Klingons really have no reason whatsoever to acknowledge any longer that the Federation had anything to do with anything. So I thought that was a good way of kind of resetting that level in a couple of stages.
And by the way, the legend of Vulcans not lying is a total myth.
No, it's just exaggerated a little.
Yes.
Well, everyone we've met pretty much has exaggerated a lot at some point in time.
Or in simpler terms, they lied.
Hey, yeah. I did like Tripp's, Tripp was when he was in full pregnancy mode. You know, it was kind of funny. He started flipping out over that little safety bar and it was
resting.
So that's the part where I, after the episode, I said, so having been through this process, whereas I have not, what was your take on these things happening? And she said that while the things that were happening rang true, it really bordered on the tropes of that type of thing, that all the things were happening. And the thing that she found one of the biggest exceptions with was when Phlox said that Tripp would be going through various things, including having morning sickness. And she said, why would he automatically just assume that Tripp would have morning sickness?
Well, I mean, every pregnant woman, it's like a thing to do.
Well, first of all, pregnant woman.
To do.
Right. And the second thing is it's an alien. So she felt like he really shouldn't be making that assumption. You know, everything should be based on what is actually happening.
You know, that's true, because not every woman grows nipples on her wrists because of they're pregnant. So
most do, but not.
I'm going to start sucking on my wife's wrist.
Well, I thought it was amusing that I wear a wristwatch with a steel buckle on it, and I take the watch off and go, "Oh my goodness, I'm
feels funny.
I'm a child suddenly." It's all right. Do we have anything?
I did enjoy the Klingons getting a laugh over him being pregnant.
Yes.
It kind of reminded me
of the bridge crew was finding out about it. You're like, what?
Yeah.
It reminded me of that scene at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. You named after the dog?
You're right. I think the one thing I didn't care for some reason is actually seeing Tripp's third and fourth nipple. I assume he has two already, so he had two more.
And we didn't really confirm whether they went away after he was no longer pregnant.
Good point. Yeah.
Because he was questioning that and Phlox said, I assume so, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on that detail in the upcoming. We need a Blu-ray version of that so we can check his wrist later on.
Yeah.
And they said that the baby was in his chest. He's going to die if that thing grows. It's going to crush his heart.
His lungs. What?
Yeah. Of course, the question is how much bigger. We don't know the gestation period. Was that almost as, although they said that it was early enough that it could be transferred to a different host.
They grow to 12 pounds over the course of 24 months. So,
and the child moves around in the body, like sometimes the head, sometimes the feet.
Now that's starting to sound more like Borat.
Oh, well, just saying. All right. Why don't we move on to our second episode then? And Craig, tell us about that one.
All right. So Terra Nova, a teleplay, is by Antoinette Stella, from a story by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga, directed by the LeVar Burton, who, by the way,
yes,
you can check on Jeopardy this week.
Not this week. Not this week. He's not on this week.
The 26th.
Right. Next week. Well,
I'm sorry, when you hear this, or when this comes out, the following week, he'll be out there on Jeopardy. Anyway, so it first aired on October 24th in 2001. And in this episode, the Enterprise travels to the planet Terra Nova. The crew's mission is to investigate the mysterious disappearance of an Earth colony that has been established on some planet some 70 years ago or earlier.
So this episode, it's interesting that we'd say it's from a story by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga. Rick Berman, I believe, has said, yeah, this is probably one of the big misses of the season. And I tend to agree. I really didn't have much enjoyment out of watching this one. It just,
it didn't really go anywhere.
He thought it was more of a concept that just, they just couldn't execute or just didn't come out right or something. There were so many questions. It's like, all right, you've got the Novans who have mud makeup on them.
Right.
But when they take the mud makeup off, they know they look exactly like humans.
It's true.
It's very, very confusing. I thought the name SS Conestoga was a little too on the nose as well for this colony, but half of them died of dysentery. I don't know. I don't know. What did you think about it, Chuck? I'm lost on this one.
I thought it was all right, but I'm like, yeah, I'm with you as to how could they be so. It almost reminded me of Miri in a way.
Mm.
It's like, you're not us, but dang, you look like us. And they had their own language, sort of.
Yeah, kind of.
Like Miri, only instead of the Grups, it was the Upsiders, or what are they called?
And no bonk bonk. So.
Yeah, I half expected that from, but yet we had to have the crisis which draws them together. Oh, I'm pinned beneath this big log. And of course the water had to be rising and save the guy at the last minute. But it felt kind of contrived in a way.
I think one of the things that was contrived is, could you see any real reason why we had to have that scene where the shuttle falls through the
surface. It was a filler.
Yeah, it felt that way. I mean, it was a filler by being his giant hole. In the-
we still got time and we got budget. So let's drop the shuttle pod down below. Actually, I thought Travis summed up what the episode should have been at the end when he was framing it with some of the greatest mysteries like Amelia Earhart and all that. I was like, if they had kind of leaned into that a little bit more, yeah, I think it could have been a good episode. I didn't necessarily hate it, but just didn't feel like it went anywhere much at all.
I was half expecting, you know, something more like Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, what happened to this crew? Oh, they turned into something else, but it didn't even quite get there.
I mean, it, at least the, because of the resolution that they had, you know, they were constrained because it had to be something where the woman had to still be alive who remembered arriving on the planet.
Right.
So you were to have too much of a morphing of the humans into something else in 70 years could be, or less than 70 years, because it didn't happen right away that the asteroid hit.
I was surprised at T'Pol's reaction. We'll just beam him up.
You know? Yeah, we'll right. stun him and beam him up.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was wondering if she would, because I thought it was way out of character. I assumed she was trying to make a point. That's what I thought she was trying to do.
She was. If you're going to be ridiculous, I'm going to be more ridiculous to show you how ridiculous you are.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now sorry. Okay. Go ahead. I think this story would have been better if they got there and, you know, like I said, framing it in that mystery of what happened. And there's like very little remains. And then they had already relocated somewhere else on the other side of the planet. And they're almost about to write them off and they figure it out, you know, that kind of thing. Instead just, I don't know. I guess that I'm with.
But they scanned the whole planet for life signs and they didn't find any.
Yeah.
Did so you had to force them underground.
Right.
And I guess they, because of the rock, they couldn't.
Yeah, but they did find them pretty easy. So yeah. If they had moved elsewhere because they were getting sick, you know, or something, and kind of played it, led into that mystery a little bit more, I think it'd have been more of an interesting episode. And yeah, then they figured out at the end, oh, here's what happened.
They also seemed very quick to change their mind on anything. It's like, oh, you're sick. Ah, bah, 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 bah. We'll take you on board our ship. Ah, bah, bah. Okay. And you're like, oh, you know, we should tell them the truth about it and let the people decide. No, blah, blah, blah. We should. Okay.
Yeah. That felt like it was in the interest of time. We should move the story along. Hey, we have our strongly held convictions until someone gives us a few words of encouragement.
Maybe we didn't string it on long enough because we had to drop that shuttle pod through the ground.
Yeah, we should have had that and maybe nixed the musical sequence of the production, which I don't know. I didn't go back and listen to it again. Was it a tune that we should have recognized, or was it just a generic song that they were playing on the instruments?
I wasn't paying that close of attention.
It was all along the Watchtower from the Hinders.
No,
it had a Battlestar Galactica tie-in.
I did like the end where I liked the end where Archer delegated the report writing to Mayweather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I think you'd be just the right person. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Because it's too boring for me to recount the story again.
You know what? We got to paint this fence white. Why don't you take care of this?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mayweather. Oh, those boomers. All righty. All right. Well, I think we can get to rating these two episodes.
So, must we?
I know what I want to give as a scale for the first one, but it's just wrong. So what scale do we want to use for Unexpected?
What, Blastocyst doesn't come to mind right away?
Let's see. Robots, holographic robots. Yeah, let's go with holographic
crystals.
Robots. Crystals. Crystals. Okay, there we go. Crystals. Okay, scale of 1 to 10 crystals. What do we rate unexpected? Where Trip gets pregnant. I'm going to start with Craig.
I think I like this better than I thought I was going to, because it's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's been a long time.
So I'm actually going to give this a 6.5.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know, it was all right. It was all right. It was actually better than the second one.
And I think that's going to go without saying. I'm going to give it a 6. I agree with a lot of what you said there, Craig, that it was more fun than I remembered it being watching the first time, but the elements that were those things that Bonnie identified as kind of the tropes,
mm-hmm.
I felt like they went a bit heavy-handed on them for comedic effect, and it just became too much pile-on Trip with, you know, every single thing that could possibly happen to him. But overall, I thought it was fun enough. And how about you, Chuck?
I'm also going to give it a 6. It stays afloat mainly because they're still learning their way through the galaxy and making mistakes, many of them completely unintentional. You know, while there was a bit of comedic effect, it was Trip getting pregnant. what more do you got to say?
I can say I can see my house from here. All right, let's see.
That's
let's
the move. Next episode.
Let's move on to.
Oh wait, no, that was that. That was episode. That episode. Oy.
Let's move on.
How much do I want to purge these already?
Terranova was so forgettable. You think something happened in it, and it didn't.
The nice thing about it, watching Enterprise, is every episode is new again because you really didn't want to remember it.
All right, so we will go in reverse order. Chuck, what do you rate? Oh, we got to give it a scale. What do we got? We got 1 to 10. So we got
shales.
Shales.
Okay, shales.
1 to 10 shales. Sure.
Diggers.
Sure. Diggers. There you go. Diggers. 1 to 10 diggers. Mmm. Digger meat. It's what's for dinner.
Mmm.
Diggers, armadillos. What's the difference?
The other white meat. Oh, gosh. I'm having a hard time even reaching 5 diggers with this one. You know, I'm just going to split it down the middle. We'll go with 5 diggers. It was an interesting story, but like you said, it just didn't execute all that well. There were. I'm having a hard time even formulating thoughts around this one.
All right. I will go then. I'm going to rate it at 3 diggers.
Wow.
I was even tempted to go lower than that. Maybe I will. I think I'm going to go 2 on this one. Actually, I'm going to go 2.
You can't keep subtracting it.
Yeah, I'm going to get minus 12. No, I'm going with my first thought and go with 2 on this one. I felt like there was just the vaguest of a concept of a thing to be told in the story, and that was it. There was just a seed of an idea that wasn't fleshed out at all. The characters' reactions to things were completely inconsistent. And as I pointed out, they're too easily swayed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the concept of the mystery of Terra Nova was solved far too fast. And I think what Craig was talking about would have been much more interesting, you know, a long trail to get to what actually happened to them. So
yeah,
you know, if this one was up in the rotation, I would go, yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that one altogether. So I'm going with 2. And what say you, Craig?
I gave it a 4. I really do. I think we totally agree. I think Travis's meal with the captain should have been at the beginning of the episode where he was setting it up, saying, oh, it's one of those mysteries, like, you know, and leaned into it, but they didn't.
But that was at the beginning.
No, his dinner was at the end. He was explaining to they had a meal at the beginning.
Yeah, and I thought that's where he was telling to Paul, you've never heard about Amelia Earhart? Or
no, that was at the end. Travis was the one bringing it up. He mentioned like two or three different big mysteries like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they should have had that conversation at the beginning and set the stage, but oh well. So I give it 4 diggers.
All right. Yeah, I guess it wasn't Trip having a conversation like that. And she says, how much do you remember about Vulcan history?
Yeah. Yeah. And they got quiet. And something that was funny. Archer takes a drink and turns his head.
History never was my best subject.
Yeah, exactly.
Archer's I'm out of this conversation. I don't know.
He's just watching Trip flop in the breeze.
To fall in for the knockdown again. Jeez.
That's right.
All righty. So that was the two episodes. Next time around, two more episodes. I don't have the list up in front of me, but we're looking at the next two after Terra Nova. So you can consult Paramount Plus or streaming service or DVDs of your choice on the next two episodes we're going to be talking about. All right. But with that, it's time to come back from our main mission and go to our warp speed roundtable.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Whatever that is. There's a bird on the bridge.
I was going to say, is there something flying by? Or I don't know what that is.
A drunk tribble?
Yeah.
All right. This time around, we've got a case of Would You Rather. We haven't played Would You Rather in a long time. And we have three choices for you. Would you rather A, spend an hour in Worf's fight training holodeck program, and I assume it's going to be set to maximum intensity, or would you rather perform stand-up comedy in front of an already grumpy Captain Killy, so a very hostile audience, if you will, or C, get stuck in a turbo lift, a small turbo lift, with an entire Gorn wedding party? And remember, they haven't been to the reception yet, so they are...
Oh, you didn't say that earlier.
Oh, no.
They're not going up to their room. They're going to the reception hall, so they have not eaten yet.
They're going to Worf's fight training holodeck program.
Yeah, probably for a good time. All right. So, let's see. Let's go with me first. I think that I would, given these choices, I would spend the hour in Worf's holodeck program because... I figure if I kept running, I might be able to avoid, you know, being attacked. And I could, there's several things to hide in there. He's got like these rocks and trees, and there's a structure you can kind of hide behind. And as long as that skull creature doesn't have X-ray vision or something like that, I don't know what the deal is with
Skeletor.
That. Yeah, with him in there. But I think that's my best shot at making it out alive. All right, I'm going to go to Craig next.
By the way, I figured you were going with the stand-up in front of Killy.
Oh, no. She's already grumpy. I don't know. No,
you don't need to help her out.
Love Danny Hillcrest and Captain Killy.
That would I'd kill with that. Oh, no, she would kill with that.
Yeah, she would. I would say spend an hour with Warp's fight training program on maximum intensity because all these sound like a maximum intensity when you get down to it. So. Might as well. I at least this way, I know I've only got an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, how long do you think you could be doing stand up? I mean, a 20-minute set, and either you're yanked off stage or well, swept off the floor.
It lasts forever, so to speak. You know.
All right, that's two for Worf's holodeck program. What say you, Chuck?
I'm going with the comedy stand up.
Ooh, brave man, brave man.
Hey, if she's already grumpy, you can only go up, right?
Can't you though? Really?
Maybe.
What would be your opening joke?
Well, let's put it this way. It's an option. Yeah, what would be your opening joke?
So, Emperor Giorgio walks into a bar.
Oh, what happened to Chuck? I don't know, but there's this smoldering thing on the floor over there. I think it's...
What are the crickets? How do you do the crickets? Psst, psst, psst. I can't do
All right.
So, how about that alternate universe? You know what I hear they have over there? They have comedy clubs.
Perhaps you.
He's here all week, everybody. Please try the Kelpian.
By the way, I don't think he'll be here all week.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, those are our answers, but you may have a different opinion about this. You know, you might want to go with those Gorns. They're hungry, but maybe you brought snacks with you. Who knows? you might be getting out of that one as well. And
the Gorns are so tame, they'll eat off your hand.
Literally, they will eat off your hand.
That's right.
All right. But you can answer that question over on our Facebook page. And so feel free to tell us which you would rather do. But right now it's time to refill the dilithium chamber with some of that sweet, sweet reconstituted dilithium and to try to warp on out of here or limp on out of here on impulse, I guess. Special effects are amazing. Why do we need the soundboard? This is just amazing stuff going on here. You can find me, Clinton, at comedyforecast.com, all one word with the number four, as well as on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and MeWe and this watch here that I happen to have with me that leaves these little indents in my wrist that make it look like I'm pregnant. And who speaks for you guys?
Go ahead, Chuck. I'm taking a break.
What?
Union rules, buddy.
You can podcast find us by rules. Searching for Technorama Podcast. Anywhere you find Technorama Podcast, you'll probably find us because there isn't another one. Technorama Podcast, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, that's us too.
Yeah, we have to fight the science museum, but you know,
they don't have a podcast, thank goodness.
No, not yet. Actually, we should maybe we should hit them up.
To do one for them?
Yeah, do their podcast.
That wouldn't be confusing at all. No, not that Technorama podcast.
It's the Technorama special episode with the Technorama science music. We already had that, actually.
We did already have that.
Yeah.
All right. If you're confused, that's okay. We're all confused. Theoretically, I'm about to say now it's time to hit the theme, boys, and we'll hear a theme, and who knows what will happen. So I'm going to say, hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. That was the theme. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. As we always say here on The Topic is Trek, don't
put on
the red
shirt.
Insert effects here.
Dun 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 dun.